We have, the last several weeks, at least 4 weeks, been trying to preach to you out of the book of Romans. This morning, though, I'm going to, I want to do a little review for you before we go any further. Last week, we spoke to you about Abraham and the life of Abraham, the life that he walked by faith. And I want to go back to the very first chapter this morning and read to you where this thing actually begins in Romans chapter 1. Now notice in I'll start with verse 15 and read verses 15, 16, and 17. And the apostle says, "So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And that statement, the just shall live by faith, it's the Apostle Paul quotes that verse several different times, at least two times in his other writings. The just shall live by faith. He's quoting from an Old Testament scripture in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And in that verse, it says, "The just shall live by his faith." And so when we talk about faith, and this was what the entirety of the fourth chapter of Romans was about the faith that God gave Abraham way back before he ever came out of the land of Chaldee, the Ur of Chaldee. God told him, he said, "Get you up and get you out into a land that I will show you." And even when he obeyed, it says Abraham obeyed the word of God going by faith. So we know that Abraham was given faith long time before he got to the end of his journey. Several times in the speech to Abraham, he told him at several different times, he says, "Abraham, I'm going to make thee a great nation. Out of thee shall come, shall be blessed all the nations of the world." And he says, he gave him several different times, he gave him this promise, and he reiterated this over and over. When he first received the promise, he was 75 years old. And when he finally received the end of that promise, he was 100 years old. So we see that there was a long journey that Abraham traveled, and his travels was not always, although he had faith, a lot of times he did not specifically walk by faith. Sometimes he doubted God. One time God told him that you're going to have a child, and Abraham laughed and said, "Yeah, right." You know, so when we look at the walk of faith that Abraham, the example is that our life, our walk of faith, is very similar to Abraham's. It goes up and down and up and down, and finally, it says that we shall reach the end of our faith. So I want to speak this morning about this faith. But notice it says the right in the gospel. It says the gospel is given first. We need to understand that the word of God, the preaching of the gospel, the written word, all of these things are given to those who have faith. The word of God will not benefit you at all. It will not benefit those people in the world today that are out there that are doing all kinds of evil until they have been given faith to believe it. So this message this morning is to the believer. To those, that's what it says in that 16th verse. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The word "believeth" is a present in that text, is a present tense participle, and it could be read the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that is believing. It's a present tense verb. A participle. So when we look at this from the standpoint, it says to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. And the Greeks there is Gentiles. We know that the gospel or the word of God was first given to the Jews. And this was the point that Paul is making throughout the first and second and third and all the way down through to the fourth chapter, that this message was given first to the Jews. But then because of faith, because of the faith that God gives us, it's also to the Gentiles. And aren't you thankful this morning that God didn't just keep it closed up to that one group of people? So when we look at faith this morning, I woke up this morning with this verse on my mind out of Psalms 89. You remember now that Psalms 89 was written by David. And we find in Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, that there was 14 generations from Abraham to David. Yet here is all, I mean, somewhere 400 and something years after the death of Abraham, we find this promise that God gave to Abraham still in effect. And Psalms 89 is the reiteration, if you please, of this eternal covenant, the everlasting covenant that God gave to his people. Now notice, and I want to just read a few verses out of Psalms 89. Now listen to the beautiful language. Blessed, you know, the word blessed, we find the word blessed. Sometimes we use the word blessed, but we say blessed. Well, that's what we call a beatitude. You know, you can go over to Matthew chapter 5 and it says, Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they, the meek, etc. Through Matthew chapter 5. And so here it says, blessed. Now, it didn't say blessed, you will be blessed if you will believe, but it said, blessed is the people. No, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. The joyful sound is that message that the Apostle Paul is saying. It's called the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Yeah, the gospel is good news to who? To those who have faith and to those who are the believers. This message of the good news, the gospel message, the gospel sound will not be of any benefit whatsoever to you. You can hear the word, you can hear it and maybe say, well, okay, yeah, that sounds really good. But until you come to the point where you really believe it, it's not going to be a benefit to your life. And this is what it says. It says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. These people who know the joyful sound, it says, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. The word countenance is face. It says, they that know the joyful sound shall walk in the light of God's face. In other words, he is those that have been given the message. And you cannot believe the message without faith. Brother Tom wanted me to make sure I emphasize that. Last Sunday he said, you didn't give enough information on faith. Well, this morning, Brother Tom, we're going to get there, hopefully, so we'll understand that faith is not, it's not something that you go out here, you can't go out here to a store somewhere and buy faith. You can't get faith. Faith is a gift of God. That's what we need to completely and always understand, that the only ones that can believe that Jesus is the Christ is those who have been born of God. And you can't have faith until you're born of the Spirit of God. And this is a very difficult, perhaps a hard sell to some people. They say, if you will believe and if you will do this and if you do that and you can all do all those things, then you will have faith. You don't do anything to get faith. Faith is a gift of God. According to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says faith is a fruit of the Spirit. You cannot have a fruit of something until you have the tree. Jesus says a good tree is known by its fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. It will bring forth the right kind of fruit. So it says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. If you know this morning that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you believe that he came at the appointed time of the Father and gave his life for our sins, then you're blessed. And that's a joyful news. And not only that, he said, if I go away, I'll come again and I'll receive you unto thyself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming back for those for whom he redeemed. And that's the whole message of the gospel. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And the question we must ask in our minds, did he get it done? Did he finish the job? Was he able to complete the mission, if you please? And it says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of his countenance. Notice, in thy name, whose name is this? Notice the word Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. I've brought that to you so many times. The word is all capitals in the 15th verse. I want you to always look at those verses, those words that are all caps should just jump off the page to you. I've told you that so many different, but that word, Lord, is the word for Jehovah. It's the same word as in Genesis chapter 6 where it says, they asked Abraham, he said, who shall I say sent me? Who shall I say sent me? And it says, I am that I am has sent me. The word Lord, the word Jehovah, and the word I am, it's a self-existent, always present God of eternal glory. It's Jehovah God, Jehovah God. So it says, in his name, shall they rejoice all the day? Who is going to rejoice all day long in the name? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds to who? To a believer. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows and heals his wounds, and he drives away his fear. The only way that we can walk in this world and not have fear is to trust in the living God of the creator of this world. And that's why he says, in thy name, O Lord, shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Whose righteousness is this? Is it our righteousness? He said, in thy name shall they rejoice all day in thy righteousness. It's in the righteousness. We have no righteousness. Oh, according to Isaiah chapter 64, it says all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. We have no righteousness. And that's what the fourth chapter of Romans was all about. It says that when Abraham believed God, he believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He believed in God. You know, there's a difference in people believing in God. We believe in God, but do you believe God? That's the difference, isn't there? Do you believe God? Do you believe what he said? We believe in God, but do you believe God? His word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. And so he says, this is the people that know the joyful sound. And I believe I'm looking at you this morning that you know the joyful sound. And if you know the joyful sound, perhaps we should be more joyful about it all. Reckon that we should walk along with, if we're walking in the light of his countenance, we should reflect that in our lives. If we've been, when you look at Moses, when Moses went on the mountain, he was there, with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. When he came down off of that mountain, his face glowed so much that they had to put a veil over his face. I want you to see that if we have walked in the light of God's countenance, there should be a different look about us. We should be reflecting him. And that's what it says, in thy name shall thy righteousness be all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Now notice, for thou art the glory of their strength. Where's our strength? The Lord Jehovah is our strength. We have no strength. When we talk about how strong you are, when you think about how weak you are, I want you to understand that the Apostle Paul learned, and this was one of the questions that was asked in the beginning of Romans 4, what shall we say? What is our father Abraham found? What did Abraham, our father, find as concerning the flesh? I believe, brethren, if we study the life of Abraham, we'll find that he found out the same thing that you and I do. And that is that in our flesh dwells no good thing. And how to perform that which is good we find not. It's only through his righteousness that we are exalted. None of our own. And this was the problem with the Pharisees. You see, they thought they were the elite of God. They were chosen of God. They were given all of these promises. And they said, Abraham was our father. We've never been in, there's a lot of God's children that are children of Abraham. Out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. But how many of those people, how many of them know the joyful sound? If you don't believe in Jesus, there's a lot of people, a lot of God's people, I believe, in every nation in the world that will never know the joyful sound. You say, well, I don't think they can be a children of God if they don't understand that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, that is so narrow. That is such a narrow view. It leaves out all the Old Testament people. You see, David knew Jehovah God. Job knew Jehovah God. Job knew who he was. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. He says, I shall see him with my eyes. He said, he shall stand upon this earth in the latter days. He's talking about the Son of God. So he says, for thou art the glory of their strength. In thy favor, our horn shall be exalted. The word horn is strength. That's what the horn means. It's a symbol of strength. And it says, in thy favor. What's favor? How would you define grace? Grace is the divine favor of God. So he could have said, for thou art the glory of thy strength, in thy grace is our horn exalted. For the Lord, now notice this beautiful verse, the Lord is our defense. The Lord is the one that's going to be with us in all of our troubles and all of our trials. He will walk with us. He will go with us, and he will not leave us nor forsake us. We have the promises of God that he will not leave us nor forsake us. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what men shall do unto me. So when we think about the goodness of our God, it says, for the Lord is our defense. Our defense. And in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. The Lord is our defense and the Holy One of Israel. Who is that? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says, for the Lord is our defense. The Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou speakest in a vision to thy Holy One and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Jesus was chosen. It says in Hebrews again, it says, it is written in the volume of the book, it's written of me. He said, I come to do thy will, O God. He says a body hast thou prepared me. God prepared the Son of God with a human body. He was born of the Virgin Mary at the appointed time of God the Father. And it said, and the name that was given to him is Jesus. You know, we could go over to various places and look at the names that he's called. He's called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. All of these names, and his name is called Emmanuel, which is God with us. But none of those names is the name that the Father gave him. The Father named his Son, and he named him Jesus. And he says, his name is Jesus. Why? For he shall save. The word Jesus means Savior. He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. He is our Redeemer. He is the one that came to do the will of his Father. And that's the good message, brothers and sisters. That's the gospel that the Apostle Paul is preaching throughout his whole ministry. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You have faith. I have faith. I heard one guy say that, well, the word faith there from faith, from my faith from the faith of God. You know, this is when we find the word the definite article in the word in front of faith, it's the faith, which this is the faith. It says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. So we could say that the faith is from the faith of God. We talked about that last week. From the faith of God, or the faith that God has given us to your faith. I'd rather believe that it's from my faith to your faith. If you have faith this morning, and you do, well, you get it. You've got it. And the faith that what I'm trying to preach to you this morning is what I believe. And I hope and trust this morning that you believe that there's a mutual connection between you and me this morning as we endeavor to preach this beautiful gospel. Now, so I want to go back now to Romans chapter 4 for just a little while. And I want you to remember now, Abraham was called out of Ur of Chaldee in chapter 12. He was 75 years old. Matter of fact, you know the book of Hebrews chapter 11. By the way, Brother Devin, we're just about ready to go into that, aren't we, in chapter 11 of in our Bible study on Wednesday nights. I want to read you out of Hebrews 11 before we get back to Romans 4. And notice it says, this is Hebrews 11, verse 4. It's talking about the very same one that we've been teaching about in Romans chapter 4, Abraham. His name, by the way, was Abram to start with. And the word, and then he changed his name to Abraham because he says, you shall be the father of many nations. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, by faith. I want you to understand that when Abraham walked out of Ur of Chaldee, he had faith. And where did he get that faith? He got it by the Spirit of God. He got his faith the same place you get yours. It's by the fruit of the Spirit of God. There is no other way. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, by faith, he was called to go out into a place, he obeyed. You see, we got faith. But until we hear the word of God, until we obey the word of God, you know, little book of James says, a faith without works is dead. Abraham could have had faith and just said, well, I'm not going anywhere. I like where I am. Well, I don't believe that Abraham even considered not going. But it's the point I'm making is that he had faith and he obeyed that faith. He stepped out on the faith. In order for us to have benefit, we've got to walk by faith and not by sight. That's why he said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. It said, now, I want you to think about that. That's what real faith really is. Where am I going? Lord, where am I going? He says, I'll let you know when you get there. Or he said, I'll guide you by the way. He said, he went out. Abraham said, get out and get going. And he obeyed. He got out and he went going. But there's one thing that God didn't tell him to do that he did. He said, you get out and you leave your kindred. Leave this land and leave your kindred. Well, Abraham almost did that, but he took his nephew Lot with him. God didn't say, get out and go and take your kin folks, but he took Lot. And we find as we study the story of Abraham and the journey that he walked by faith, Lot was not, he was kind of a thorn in his side all the way through. We find that Abraham went down to, after he had gone and God told him, he says in that 12th chapter of Genesis, he said, Abraham, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. All the, as the sons of the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. But Abraham, after that, he says there was a famine in the land. And there was a famine. And so what did he do? He said, I need to get out of here. And so he went down to Egypt. You know what he did when he was in Egypt? He told Sarah. He said, Sarah, now we're going down there and don't you dare tell them who you are. You tell them that I am your sister. Yeah. Thank you. She's not, I mean, we get it right, Brother Tom. Anyway, he said, you tell them that I'm your brother. In other words, you're my sister. You know, that was half truth. If you go and you study on over later on in that day, Abraham and Sarah were half brothers and sisters. They had the same father, but not the same mother. So he married his half sister, but said, "You tell them that you're my sister, and I'm your brother." Because if you go down there, they're going to kill me because you're such a knockout, beautiful woman. They're going to kill me and take you. So God, through His great providence and His great love, He preserved, He withheld Sarah from Pharaoh. Well, He did it again, another time. Went in it, and He told the same story to Abimelech. My question is this. Why did he do that? Why would he tell? Well, now you say, "Well, brother, he didn't really lie." Well, he did, because he told half the truth. She was his wife, period. But why did he do that? Because he was afraid. You say it's fear had torment. You see, his faith was not there yet. And we find that all the time he journeyed throughout all of these different places. One time he had to go rescue his nephew Lot. In Genesis chapter 14, we find that Abraham went there and there was a war and the ones that Sodom and Gomorrah, you remember, Lot and his herdsmen, they got in a fuss with Abraham's herdsmen. And so Abraham said, "Let's not fight. We're brethren. So you just choose whichever one you want." And it says that Lot set his eyes toward Sodom because it was a great, wonderful, green-looking plain. And surely this will be a wonderful place for me. And Abraham took the land of Canaan. God reiterated the promise to him again after that. But Lot got in trouble. And he went, and the king of Sodom, and this is where, by the way, we've read this in Hebrews and various places. This is when, after he had rescued Lot, he found a man called Melchizedek. And it says, this man was and we've read about Melchizedek, that's in Genesis 14, but this was after the rescue of Lot from those kings. Abraham went out. He formed his men and he went out and he called him his brother. He said, "My brother," and he brought him back. So we see, now look, I'm going to read a little bit more about Abraham's faith. You see, faith, especially in Romans chapter 4 and in Hebrews chapter 11, is not so much at identifying what faith is. I mean, it does say faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. But really, faith, what's the lesson in Hebrews 11 and Romans chapter 4 is the walk of faith. What does faith do for you? How do you use your faith? What good is it if you don't obey it? You see. And it says, now verse 9, "By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as a strange in a strange country." It certainly was. "Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city." Abraham, all the time that he was sojourning, God said, this is a land of promise. "And he looked for a city whose foundation, whose builder and maker is God." Now, notice this again. Remember, Abraham's 75, and I think Sarah's 10 years younger, I'm not sure. Y'all check that out. But Abraham was 75 when he got the promise. He goes down in chapter 15 and 16. It says in chapter 15, that Abraham believed God. This is in Romans chapter 4. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. His believing God and obeying the gospel was not what caused his eternal life, if I can say that. But it was because he obeyed God. God charged it. He put it on his account. Righteousness. Now, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who was promised. She didn't do that to begin with. You know that? When Sarah heard God talking to Abraham, he said, Sarah's gonna have a child. You know what? She laughed. And God said, well, why did Sarah laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. And he said, yes, you did, Sarah. Well, would you laugh if you was 90 years old and God said you're going to have a child and your husband is so old he can't do much either? And it says here, by faith, Sarah conceived a strength to conceive a seed and was delivered of child. Therefore, sprang there even of one and of him as good as dead. That was Abraham, as good as dead. So many as the stars, and this is the fulfillment of this promise finally came 25 years after the promise. Would you be able to stand? I mean, somebody gave you a promise and he just kept saying, yeah, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. What's the lesson in that? It's patience. We don't like to wait, but Abraham learned patience by the experiences that he had. And it goes on and says, through faith Sarah conceived. And it says, there sprang there even one and of him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as sands of the seashore innumerable. And it says, these all died in faith. Now, the key word is they died in faith, not out of faith. These were all God's children. And you say, well, how were they saved? The same way we are. The Old Testament people received the Spirit of God. They received faith. They received all of these blessings and God gave them a joyful sound. And that's what David said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. I hope this morning that you consider yourself to be so blessed to be able to understand this message of God, of the gospel. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that we were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Do you understand that we're in the same boat, so to speak? We're looking for a city. When Jesus left, he said, I'm going away. And as he was going up into the heavens, the angel said unto the apostles standing around by there, he said, oh, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that you say go up shall return again in like manner. And we're still looking for him to come. Still looking. 4,000 years later. As the promise. You know, that was the question. Can the law disannul the promise? The law was 430 years after the promise of Abraham. And that's the question that was asked in Romans chapter 4. Can the law disannul the promise of God? No. Now notice, I'm going to get back to Romans 4 and then we're going to quit. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to return. But notice, but now they desire a better country. Brethren, this is faith looking forward. You have faith, right? Well, what is the end of your faith? It's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise is that he's coming back. Are you looking for him? That's the point. We're looking for that promise, the fulfillment of that promise. And every day of our lives we look, is it going to be today? Are we going to receive that promise today? Is he coming today? Well, you don't know when he's coming, but you need to lock on to the truth of the matter that he is coming. The King is coming back. He's coming. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. There's a city whose foundation and maker is God. Now we're going to get back to Romans chapter 4 and close this thing out this morning. Now notice it says, I want to look at verse 18 of Romans 4. It says, speaking of Abraham, Abraham against hope believed in hope. Now that seems kind of strange language, that against hope, he believed in hope. Well, if you were told that a promise that you was going to have a certain thing happen, and you didn't get the confirmation of that and somebody just kept promising and promising and promising and promising, 25 years later, would you believe it? It says, now Abraham was way past childbearing, and Sarah, her womb she had never had a child. She could not have any children. And Abraham, and by the time that Abraham finally went in, and by the way, there's a time when Abraham thought that this promise was not going to be, it surely, Sarah can't have children. So he decided, well, maybe we need to help God out a little bit here, huh? And so they get this plan in their minds. Okay, Abraham, we need for you to take Hagar into your tent, and you have a child by her, and we will say that's the fulfillment of the promise. God said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called," not in Ishmael. Brethren, Abraham was a man of faith, but he had some of the same experiences of ups and downs as we do. Faith is hope looking forward. That's what it says, hope against hope. So, and he said, okay, God has promised me that I'm going to have a child. I don't know how it's ever going to happen. I want you to understand, according to nature, it was impossible. It was impossible for Sarah and Abraham to have children by nature. Period. There's no way it could happen. But the question is asked, is anything too hard for God? That's the question that they ask over there. Well, what is the question? What is it? Do you believe that somebody that's been in the grave 10,000 years or whatever, how long it is, that they could possibly ever come out of the grave and live in heaven? You see, that's what the gospel message is all about. He said, when Jesus comes back again, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's some. That's not going to be, and that's a myth somebody believed, that God loved everybody. Well, he loved his people. But there's some that he didn't die for all of humanity. I hate to destroy your bubble, but he died for his people. Every single one of them, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, will, without exception, live in glory. That includes all of the Old Testament people and all of those. I want you to think about here is God the Father who is taking somebody into heaven, and there hasn't been any blood shed yet. And yet here is Jesus Christ who's dying for people that thousands of years later have not. I mean, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus died, but he died 2,000 years ago and redeemed you and you and you, all of us, from our sins. You say, is there anything too hard for God? And when you think about faith, you cannot believe anything without evidence. I said that last week. How do you believe? I mean, if somebody tells you a certain story and you say, well, that's a really good story, but I don't know if I believe it or not. Prove it. Prove it to me that it's true. Well, I have 66 books of proof. And not only that, it says the Spirit of God that dwells in you, the Spirit of God bears witness with the Spirit of God. Your spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God that you are His child. You are blood bought and heaven bound. And if you believe that, there's a lot of trials that you're going to be able to get through. But if you don't believe that, then the sad thing is, you're going to have to suffer a lot of heartache and troubles and trials. Now, faith is not going to get you to heaven. The blood of Jesus did that. But faith and obeying it will deliver you from all of the heartaches. And now notice it said, I'm going to read on and I'm almost done. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And we looked in Galatians chapter 3 verse 16 last week, and it says that seed was not seeds with an S on the end, but it was one seed. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And it very plainly, significantly tells us that seed was Jesus Christ. In him shall all the nation, and this was given to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way down, David, all the way down, and it comes down to us today. The eternal covenant of God. That He chose you in Jesus Christ. He gave you to His Son. His Son came and He died for your sins. He went to the grave and He rose again the third day. And He's now at God's right hand, making intercession for us according to God's will. Notice Abraham, it said, and being not weak in faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, we walk by faith and not sight. We're children of faith. We must walk according to faith. And there's many gainsayers and mockers out there in the world that will try to persuade you that this is all just a bunch of mythology. It doesn't mean anything. And we are at war, by the way, with the unchurched people, with the non-religious, with those people out there. They do not believe this, and everything religious is up for controversy. If you haven't experienced that, you will. I said this in our Bible study. There are no Christians in Saudi Arabia. There are none over there. Because they've killed all of them. What does it mean to be a Christian in today's time? It means being willing to suffer the persecutions that's coming. And it's getting worse. Where are you going to stand when the going gets tough? And it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Our faith, brothers and sisters, is the same as Abraham's. We have been given faith to believe the gospel. We've been given faith to walk in this world and not faint. That's why he says, now notice it says, this is the last verse I'm quoting. Now it was not written for his sake alone. Well, what was it written for then? It wasn't written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. What was imputed to him? Righteousness when he believed. It was imputed unto him for righteousness when he believed God. And it says it was not written for his sake alone, but it was also for us also. These messages, this whole chapter of Romans, the whole letter for that matter, but Romans chapter 4 was an example of how faith is how we are to walk by faith. And for us also to whom it shall be imputed. Notice this. It shall be imputed to us also if. There's a concept. There's a condition here. For whom also it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now, if you don't believe that, then this faith that you have is vain. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 15, it says, "Moreover, we declare you the gospel by which also you're saved, if you keep it in memory." You've got to keep it in memory in order for it to be any benefit to you. But it says, these things were written, and he says this also in Romans, he says, the things were written aforetime, written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. We're creatures of hope. We're in a strange land. We're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This earth is not your home. And the more that the older we get, the more precious our eternal home becomes to us. But you understand, you're strangers and pilgrims on this earth, and we're on a journey. We're going to that city whose foundation and maker's God. May the Lord bless you this morning.